Hi, everybody. I'm John Meehan, and this is Talk to Me in the Car, a 10-minute podcast about all things teaching-related that I literally record on my way home from work. I am an instructional coach, and each week I try to do like 10-minute bite-sized coaching on the podcast so that you can take an idea and put it in your classroom today or tomorrow, depending on when you're listening to this. If you want to reach out to me, I'm on Twitter, at MeehanEDU. That's at, like the at symbol, Meehan, like my last name, M as in Mary, E-E. H-A-N as in Nancy, and EDU, like teaching, because I really like teaching, and I would like and love to hear from you. So if you have something you want to say, or if you're using the strategy in your classroom, or you have a similar idea, please feel free to message me. Even though I monologue for about 10 minutes on these podcasts, I treat these as a dialogue, and I would love to hear from teachers, and as I get feedback, I'm always happy to work this stuff in. It's a great idea to learn from one another. Steel sharpens steel. So thank you for that. This week, we are talking about Edpuzzle. You've never used Edpuzzle, what it is, what it can do, what it can't do, and ways you might be able to take it and incorporate it into your classroom. A bit about Edpuzzle, if you are not familiar or uninitiated. Edpuzzle is primarily a free service, though there are paid upgrade versions of it, that allows you to find any video you can think to grab on the web, so like YouTube, for example, and take that video and embed questions directly into the middle of that video. So, as you're watching a video through from start to finish, it'll just stop it randomly at like 10 seconds or 20 seconds or, you know, a minute and a half, and pose an audience with a prompt question that they can't continue watching the video until they answer. So, that's the gist of Edpuzzle in a nutshell. I want to walk through some of the basics of how to set it up and how it works, and as well as some of the ways you can might think about applying it in your classroom. For those teachers who are doing flipped education or flipped classrooms, if you've never done a flipped classroom, it basically is you do the homework part of it in the class and you do the classwork part of it at home. So like all of your lectures are taking place at home. It's hard to say, hey guys, go home and watch this video and expect that students will take that seriously. Watching videos is tough wherever you're doing it, because invariably, if you don't know what to look for while you're watching a video, schema theory tells us that a student can only acquire about 7 new items of information at a time, whether those are visual items or whether those are written items. And so as the video is sort of playing around in the background, you can't tell what is important or not important if you're trying to follow it with untrained eyes. In his book, I think Blink, Malcolm Gladwell talks about how they took persons who are on the autism spectrum and had them watch movies. And they set up little cameras next to their eyes so they could see what the person was watching, or like these micro cameras, what they were focusing on as the movie was playing out. And patients with severe autism, they found, miss the point of the movie because they're spending the time as the scene is playing out paying attention to things like the light switch in the background of the scene of the film, not knowing whether that light switch will be important or not important. They miss the forest for the trees because they don't know what to pay attention to. And it's not because they're not paying attention. It's because they're paying attention to too much. If you look at like American theater, you know, or I guess international theater, the idea of like Chekhov's gun, right? The play says that, or the playwright says, if there's a gun on stage in Act 1, it has to have been fired by the end of Act 2. It's there for a reason, right? And when we put things on a video, I think we forget sometimes as educators, the video plays like it makes sense to us because we know the content inside and out. But we're really taxing the threshold of a student's schema because they're just acquiring 7 things at once, 10 things at once, 27 things at once. And something as small as, hi, I'm so-and-so, and this is a video about whatever. That student is already processing, okay, we have information. The speaker's name is so-and-so. They work at whatever school. Will that be important? That person is wearing a hat or a shirt or a tie. Will that be important? There's a background image or a background color. Will that be important? The name of this unit is what? And suddenly, like before we even move 30 seconds into the video, their schema is being filled up with all this information. And the way that the schema theory works is that the idea is that because our scratch pads can only take about 7 bits of information at a time, plus or minus about 3 items here or there. It's the same reason why telephone numbers work at 7 digits, or with area codes, 10 digits. Because when we memorize new information, we have 7 new bits of information at once, And before we can do anything, we need to take something that we've learned and do something with it. So a question with every 7 new items of information. Teachers already do this in the classroom. What's nice about Edpuzzle is it can take those videos as the video is rolling through and be like, you know what, let's take a stop every 10, 20, 30 seconds and pause so that we can make sure that students are responding and interacting with it. What that does is it takes that information that was in their short-term memory, their schema, and locks it deeper in. So like their bucket is getting full and then they get to a bucket dump into like the deeper processing parts of their brain, which is a radically oversimplified metaphor, but I think you get the gist of it. And what's cool then is that frees up the bucket to then grab new information. Likewise, like phone numbers, every time you're interacting with the information, you're taking what was 7 disparate bits of data and like data dumping it or crunching it together so it becomes like one batched process. So your phone number is no longer 7 individual numbers. It's a series of 7 numbers that you remember as one number. Every time you memorize something and really commit it to memory, Malcolm Gladwell, again, I think it's in the book, Blink, or one of his books, does talk about the idea of educators being able to hold large batches of information where learners can only hold small bits of the same information. And that which an educator holds as like a packet of information is inherently that much bigger. That's the difference between like someone who's educated in something or someone who's new to it. So taking those packets and doing them in bite-sized chunks is really, really important. And Edpuzzle is a great example of how to do it on the web. So as a teacher, you take any video you can find and you just embed certain questions, let's say at the 10-second mark, the 25-second mark, the four-minute mark, whatever. And you can set it so that it prevents the video from allowing skipping. So individual students are not able to like scrub through the video forwards past those choke points of action items, like a zombie video game, right? You're not allowed to get to the end of the level until you beat the boss at a certain midpoint of the level. And so while it gives you free play to kind of move around in a certain subsection of the level as you want to, there's all these checkpoints that until you clear your checkpoint X, you can't move on to checkpoint Y. And that's really helpful because if a student gets to a prompt in a video and can't answer it, he or she can take the time and then scrub backwards and watch that same segment again, which is fantastic. I can't tell you how many times in class we as classroom teachers play a video and something happens like, hey guys, this is important. Let's pay attention. Listen closely to this next piece. And then Bobby Jenkins like does a sneeze in the back of the classroom. And he doesn't mean to, just, you know, or so-and-so, you know, Billy Simmons does a cough. And suddenly you have a cough or a sneeze and you miss that key bit of dialogue or that key detail. Or a kid raises a hand and says, hey, can I use the restroom? Or, you know, the air conditioning kicks on. And you can't hear that one thing that would make the next 2 or 3 minutes of the video make sense. But because you're in a large group with 20 or 30 people in the room, you really can't stop it or play it back at everyone's individual pace. Because if you did, you'd never get out of the starting blocks. What's great about Edpuzzle is it allows individual students to scrub backwards and say, hey, if you didn't get it, the only way to move through this checkpoint is to get the answer from the previous part of this video. Go back, watch it again. Because everything that they're typing or everything that they're submitting is being logged into a spreadsheet, which you'll have access to as a CSV file as a teacher afterwards. Likewise, any selected item responses are automatically scored for you, like as right or wrong, which is really, really helpful because if you use it as a pre-teaching or assessment tool, Edpuzzles are great because you click a button in there and it tells the student, hey, you got this answer complete. It doesn't necessarily tell them whether they got it right or wrong. And that's cool because then you as a teacher can go back in and say, show me with the question that I put in the video at 1.5 minutes, how many students got this concept? So very quickly, if you're using it as a pre-teaching tool, you can come into Tuesday's class already knowing, look, everyone seems to have gotten points 1 through 7, but point 8 seems to be a sticking point, so let me gear my lecture or start it there. It lets you be very nimble in your teaching. Maybe third period had a different analytic than fifth period, and you could time or tailor your responses based in the areas that they're having the greatest areas of difficulty, which is cool. Likewise, it'll also tell you afterwards for each individual student how much time they spent watching that video. So if you had like a 5-minute video and the student completed it in like 5 minutes and 20 seconds, that means the question answering piece of it didn't take the student very long at all. But if you have a 5-minute video and it takes the student, let's say, 7 to 12 minutes, that would tell you that the student really did put in that time and that effort. And if we're looking at things like growth mindset and helping students build his or her own point A to his or her own point B versus everyone moves from point A to point B, you can kind of track, look, I can see that student X is taking serious time in this or maybe taking too much time. And I think that's a great way to get a more holistic understanding of who your student is so you can meet his or her learning needs accordingly. accordingly. So Edpuzzle is great, and when it's done, you hit the button. You have the ability to take that generated puzzle and post it to the web. So if a student has access to one-to-one, or if they have a device, you can go ahead and just use a phone or use a laptop, and they can complete their responses right there. It does require students to create user accounts, but those accounts, again, are just so that you can make sure to have all their data logged. There's nothing that they're selling them or anything like that. And I find it to be really, really helpful in the classroom. You can do it for any content area. You can browse their library. They have thousands of videos up there from YouTube, from other teachers' ed puzzles that have already been posted. You can clone someone else's and then go back in and make some tweaks or changes and make it your own, which is awesome. And it's a great way to really take your YouTubing to the next level, whether it's in the classroom or a center's activity, a pre-assessment, or again, a way to make sure that your students are all keeping pace. So I love it. Check it out. That's it for this week. If you want to find me on Twitter, I'd love to hear how you're using Edpuzzle or other things in the classroom. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU, at Meehan, like my last name, and EDU, like teaching, because I like teaching, and I'd like to talk to you. Thanks so much, and I'll talk to you next time.